Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, we're joined now by former NFLer, collegiate player at Notre Dame. You know him from ESPN and ESPN Radio. Here's Mike Golic Jr. What's up, Mike?
Not too much, guys. How we doing?
Well, we're trying to figure out what that play call was last night. Can you get a read on where Norv Turner, Riverboat Ron were going with that, why they wouldn't just QB sneak with Cam?
I cannot figure it out other than the fact that being a creative offensive coordinator right now in the NFL seems more fun and something that we reward than ever before. And so maybe they just wanted to get in on the party. Everyone's run their version of Philly Special, and that was the first run action I've seen off it, so that was cool, just probably not the time or the place.
What's your read on the future of Cam Newton? Everyone appears to be, you know, launching hot takes on whether or not he's done, whether or not he can change his style and keep his career rolling. Where do you stand with Cam in the future?
I just want to know if his foot's okay. Like, the more and more I think about it, like, this guy mentioned after the game, you know, there's no excuse for it, whether it's my shoulder or my foot. And it's like, all right, well, maybe when he talks, we should listen. And that foot's probably a little more banged up than it's being given credit for at this point. Like, we saw him even in the pocket. Forget the fact that the Panthers aren't even using design runs with Cam to really any extent right now. You saw him in the pocket, and he was a guy who, unfortunately, like the rest of his career, was under pressure a little bit too much for my liking and taking some hits in there, but wasn't really moving around a lot to evade it. And this is always a guy that's kind of had that Ben Roethlisberger comp of being a big body in the pocket that will not only shrug off pressure, but is definitely going to buy time to try and find his way out of it. And we didn't see a lot of that. We saw a lot of him getting rid of the ball a little bit earlier than he'd like to and absorbing some of that contact and just knowing he could because he's big, but not really feeling comfortable enough. So I'd like to see him get healthy. I'd like to see his foot get healthy before I all of a sudden decide that all of these rushing attempts that we feel have beaten him down so much have finally taken their toll, when in actuality he's probably got a hurt foot that, you know, he didn't hurt on some sort of designed rushing attempt during the off season or fall camp that I missed. Like, he just started taking real hits, so to act like that's been the problem seems misguided.
With Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio, Antonio Brown, his public image has taken an absolute beating. I mean, the court of public opinion, the verdict is in on him, and it's unanimously negative. But he's healthy, and he's ready to play, and by all accounts, he will play on Sunday down in Miami. The Patriots, I think they're going to find a way to make this work. What kind of production do you expect out of Brown this Sunday in particular?
I don't expect all that much. I mean, he's coming into New England at a place where they're going to siphon it down to what he can do well right now. Like, we've become more well acquainted with Antonio Brown's flaws as a football player through the last few months than I think ever before. And one of them is he's not a guy that's overly concerned with precise route running, which is kind of a necessity of the Patriot offense. So you'd have to imagine they're going to tailor things down to a few things that he does well, you know, the most well, I should say. He does pretty much everything else well, and just use those. You know, this is how the Patriot thing works. It's not like they're going to need much to beat this Dolphins team that's a sinking ship that everyone is trying to jump off of right now. And he's only been there a week. He couldn't really do much in that time period. He wasn't on the practice field until this week. And so ultimately, I feel like he's a guy that's going to be playing catch-up. And then, you know, whatever production you get this weekend hangs in the balance of next week when the woman accusing him, accusing him of sexual assault and rape gets heard by the NFL. And then we kind of go from there as far as his football future.
Odell Beckham Jr. came out and put Greg Williams on blast and claimed that Williams told his players a couple of years ago to take Beckham Jr. out during a preseason game. And Beckham claims that Williams' own players were the ones who actually relayed that information to him. Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy on an 0-1 team that got embarrassed last week. We all know the Browns' records over the past 7 or 8 years. They've been atrocious. And now they head into New York. And Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator on an 0-1 Jets team, who have also been atrocious for years, jumps on the mic and says this about Odell Beckham Jr. today.
He is one of the, Greg, he's one of the most dynamic players in the league for him to even.
That's your opinion?
He's one of the
What's New York's opinion? The Giants' opinion. What did the Giants do? So that's not a question for me.
So a little passive-aggressive shot at Odell Beckham Jr. again from the coordinator of an 0-1 team that's been awful
for years.
Taking
runs at him.
Like, this is, but I'm intrigued by this matchup on Monday night. Browns Jets. What do you make of this relationship between Beckham Jr., Williams, and the fact that this game is going on Monday night?
I mean, there's the two guys that are overwhelmingly confident despite recent results, right? Like, they both got impressive NFL resumes in different regards, and so there's no debating that both of them have been great in certain points in what they do, but lately it hasn't gone very well for them, so you've kind of got this egg on both of their faces, but the confidence isn't going to wane, and so it does make for something interesting. I mean, the idea that Greg Williams would coach a defense to go to the edge and maybe a little bit over doesn't seem all that shocking to anyone, right? And the idea that Odell Beckham Jr. might take and spin, you know, maybe what guys were saying around the locker room and make it a little more than it was also doesn't seem overwhelmingly shocking. Now, the thing that's interesting for me is he's going up against a Greg Williams defense that doesn't really have great cornerbacks right now or great cornerback depth at this point. And that seems problematic when you're trying to cover a guy as good as Odell Beckham Jr., who's also got Jarvis Landry out there and who's also got David Njoku out there and who's got a quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who I think is going to come out with a little extra shot of that chip on his shoulder this weekend. And so, yeah, for Greg Williams, I'm more worried the fact that he's got very few corners that seem up to the task right now, and his best player on that defense outside of Jamal Adams and C.J. Mosley is coming into this one with probably somewhat of a limp and after a groin injury in week one, sidelined him for most of the game, and we saw that defense change in a hurry in the second half because of it.
Mike, you've been around football your whole life, football, locker rooms, football culture. Maybe just, would it be a crazy departure to suggest that a coach might say, take that guy out, like that kind of language, without not meaning to, you know, debilitate him for life, but just that kind of language, that kind of instruction, would that be out of character for a football locker room?
No, it wouldn't be out of character. Like, the way I always say it is everyone knows the line. Like, especially now, there's too much money that's on the line for everyone. Guys understand what an unbelievable opportunity this is for everyone to change the lives of their families, feed their kids, all the stuff that we hear all the time. But there's still that understood portion that, yeah, like, I'm going out there to try and hit guys so hard that maybe they give up slowly. Mm-hmm. You hear guys say all the time, we want to make them quit in the fourth quarter. Like, that all kind of goes hand in hand. Football's a violent game, so no, that would be out of line, especially for a guy like Greg Williams, who comes from a bit of a different world, a time before all of the sort of health and safety revolutions that we have now to try and be football's dinosaur on the defensive side. None of that shocking.
With ESPN Radio's Mike Golic Jr., all right, I want to play this Tim Tebow clip or a portion of it. He was on First Take on ESPN this morning, and it's caused quite a stir because, you know, there's legislation going through. There's a push to get collegiate athletes some more rights in the state of California, and this could be potentially a domino effect. And Tebow was on First Take, and here's what he had to say about his own experience down in Florida.
I feel like I have a little credibility and knowledge about this because when I was at the University of Florida, I think my jersey was one of the top selling jerseys around the world. It was like Kobe, LeBron, and then I was right behind them, and I didn't make a dollar from it. But nor did I want to, because I knew going into college what it was all about. I knew going to Florida, my dream school, where I wanted to go, the passion for it, and if I could support my team, support my college, support my university, that's what it's all about.
So, as a former collegiate athlete yourself at a very prominent school, what do you make of those comments?
I mean, that stuff is all great for Tim, and obviously he's got such a unique college, you know, firsthand experience of college football that's great for him. And I don't know what kind of means Tim came up from, but he went on to mention more about how, you know, it was his grandfather's dream to see Florida win a SEC championship, mm-hmm. and how he wanted to do all these things because he loved the university. Like, I know a lot about loving the university you go to. I love playing at Notre Dame. I had a lot of family ties there. I wanted to give back to that place and give it a small piece of what it gave me, which is a life that I always wanted and to be close to my family and all these great things. But I also recognize that's one vantage point, and those are small sample sizes, and those are luxuries. Like, I had the luxury to make a decision to go to Notre Dame because I loved it and it represented all these things of my family. And I had the luxury when I was there to not really want for much because I grew up pretty well off. And I had a lot of teammates who didn't have those same luxuries. I had a lot of teammates that were sending money home during the month to help their parents pay bills back where they were from. I had teammates whose parents couldn't fly out to see them at games. I had teammates who all could have benefited from a little bit more money. And so I sort of, you know, that's great for Tim, but to say that, all right, in college football, this legislation shouldn't pass. And I don't know if that was Tim's larger point, but it seems like it. that this legislation shouldn't pass and college athletes shouldn't be allowed to benefit from their image and likeness, because that's what we're talking about with this bill, by the way. Not the guy should be paid by the university and all right. these things that people are really, you know, diametrically opposite to. It's just that, hey, you know what, if a car dealership wants to pay you $1,000 to show up and be do an appearance at their thing, yeah, maybe you should be able to make a little extra money if they're willing to. And what does that really hurt? Because, again, there's a lot of guys that need it and don't have the luxury to play college football for all of those fun, altruistic reasons. Like, for some guys, it's a way out, and that's what it's always going to be.
Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate the insight, man. We'll do it again down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
There's Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio, former NFLer and, again, collegiate athlete at Notre Dame, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.